Well, good morning, everyone. Making sure my mic's on. Yep, I think it's working. It's great to be with those who are here and those who are online. Today, we're starting a new message series called In Christ Alone. We just finished up our Made for More Than This series. And we'll be looking at Christ as really our anchor point. There's so much that's going on currently in our culture and our lives right now. And to have this reminder in Scripture to be able to look at Jesus, the one who unites us, who gives us our purpose, our meaning, our life, really our family. We all have our family of origins, but Jesus is inviting us into a new family, a family where he's adopting us as sons and daughters, that in Christ we're brothers and sisters in Christ, that our faith isn't based on works, what we've done, our accomplishments, the things that we think we've done really great on, nor is it based on the most devastating mistake you and I have ever made. It's based on Jesus. It's in Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone, we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior. So this opening message, I'd like to look at a passage in Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. If you want to turn there in your Bibles or turn on a Bible, feel free to do so. I don't think we'll have the verses on this screen, but definitely you can listen along, or if you want to open a Bible in the chairs in front of you or at home, feel free to find a Bible. But Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. I title today's message, Knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. So let's start in verse 1, Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says this, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it's a safeguard or safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." And let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you how you spoke through Paul to the church at Philippi. And God, I pray that you would speak to us afresh, God, as we read your word and reflect on it this morning. God, show us areas that we can grow, share us areas you want to encourage us in, areas you want to convict us in to look more and more like your son, Jesus. Just thank you, God. Thank you for all the benefits and the blessings we have in Christ alone. In your name, amen. So I want to look at a couple things from this passage for knowing Jesus. First off, just for a little context, if you look in the first couple of verses, you notice that Paul's encouraging the church of Philippi to rejoice in the Lord. And he says, in some translations, it says this is a safe, or this is literally a safeguard. And in the context, there's Gentile Christians who've gotten saved, and there's Jewish Christians. And the Jewish Christians, there's a little faction of them, they're saying to the Gentile Christians, you need to be circumcised like we were, according to the Old Testament Torah. Otherwise, you're missing out on what God has. So they're using some old school religious stuff that would have been apparent before Jesus, but now because of Jesus coming as a fulfillment, was no longer a requirement. And they were putting that on the Gentile Christians. And so, as you can imagine, there was some church division, right? There was some friction, some factions, some difficult conversations going on. And it's interesting that Paul, throughout this entire book, keeps reminding the church at Philippi to rejoice. Rejoice. 16 times throughout this book, he either says to encourage them to seek after the joy that's in the Lord or to rejoice, to continue to have joy, which is interesting when you're in the context of a church having a struggle and difficulties and things are challenging. The interesting thing is that he's saying don't necessarily deal with those issues first. He's saying first, rejoice in the Lord. Go to the Lord. Seek him as your joy. It's a safeguard for you. I know during this COVID experience, I'm sure many of you, it's easy, at least for me, for my joy to go down. And maybe you've realized every day can find it feel like a sap. You miss seeing your family or your friends or you're working or someone's sick or a loved one. And you just feel it, you know. I miss going to shopping, right, with no mask on and being able to bring all my kids with me and my wife. And, like, things are just different. And it can kind of, like, whittle away the joy meter. But Paul's not saying rejoice because maybe the church problems will resolve soon. He's saying rejoice in the Lord, which is beautiful because that's a constant. Amen? The Lord is a constant. So our joy meter actually can be always at a very high level when we keep rejoicing. It's a process, a daily process in the Lord. So there's a little bit of the context for what's going on. And he speaks pretty strongly against the Jewish Christians that were specifically trying to hinder the Gentile Christians. So first, we want to rejoice at all times, and especially in and through the hard times. But we also want to boast in Christ. Paul explains that he has a pretty impressive resume, pretty incredible. I'll look at it just one more time. He says, if anyone else thinks, this is verse 4, he has reason for confidence in the flesh, Paul says, I have more. So circumcised on the eighth day, he's like, already got that done. Glad Paul did that. We don't have to. Praise the Lord. Of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He's like lining up the checklist for what it would be for a religious Jew. He's like, I'm there with you guys and a little bit more. As to the law, a Pharisee, so he's a teacher. As to zeal, he was even persecuting the church. And he had really powerful leadership influence because he would invite other people to persecute the church because what he thought he was doing was right, where actually he found out he was persecuting Christ himself. As for righteousness under the law, blameless. So his resume is pretty impressive. But it's interesting that when Paul compares all these human attributes, so some of these are actually good things. I'm not saying some of them are negative, but some of them are actually good. When compared to Christ, and this is the key part because we can get kind of weird with this, compared to Christ, he says they're like rubbish. Or other translations are like garbage, like trash. In the King James Version, if you're still a KJV, uses the word dung. It's like poop in the streets. That's literally like the definition, like refuge that you find walking and you step on in the streets. All his accomplishments compared to Christ look like trash. That's how he viewed it. And now I just want to say something. On a human level, those can be impressive. I don't want you to take away that, oh, everything that God's given me as gifts mean nothing. They're actually things to thank God for, right? I'm sure some of us are excellent when it comes to academics or excellence when it comes to athletics or administration or gardening or farming or loving people. That's great. And those are opportunities to thank God. God, thank you for giving me this gift. God, thank you. And it's great to realize that God's a gift giver. He allows us to breathe and have oxygen every day. Thank you, Lord. But when we look at all the gifts, all the talents, and each one of you have unique talents and unique giftings that God has given you and designed you for with a purpose, when compared to Christ, Paul's perspective was, they're literally nothing. And that was a great pausing point when I was studying this passage this week, and maybe we can take a pause right here. How do we look at all our accomplishments compared to Jesus? I know this can kind of be painful. That was painful for me. But when you look at all the great things that God has given you and all this stuff, do we find ourselves rejoicing and boasting more in our strengths and our accomplishments? Or do we find ourselves boasting and rejoicing more in Christ? I know, that's hard. I was looking, I was like, whoo, I'm like, Paul, you're just laying it all out. You're not really giving us a third option here, are you? It's like, can't I just kind of be like a mildly prideful and then mostly Jesus? It's like, no. Comparison, when you're talking to Paul, at least in this context, it'd be so clear that Christ was so much greater than his entire resume, his religious studies, anything he's ever done before. Someone I thought who did a really good job at just illustrating this kind of humility was actually when I got to have a couple phone call conversations and then a Zoom conversation with Bill Clark. Some of you might remember a couple weeks ago, it was June 4th, this would be episode 6 of our Hope Chats. I had the privilege to talk with Bill Clark about racial reconciliation and talking about racism in our country, and he responded with just a beautiful gospel Christ-centered approach. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and Facebook today. You should watch it. It is really, really good. What he said was, I thought, very helpful and packed with wisdom. And like every nugget, every sentence, it felt like was like, you know, what you hope you accomplish in a sermon at one point. The man is gifted with wisdom. But what really impressed me was his humility during the phone conversations beforehand, my Zoom conversation with him before going live, my Zoom conversation with him after we went live. He just exuded with humility. We did talk about it. I was like, hey, Bill, what do you do? He's like, well, you know, I'm a dad and a father. I'm like, all right, that's cool. He's like, I'm also a pastor. I'm like, wow, okay, that's pretty neat. He's like, I'm also like kind of like a bishop. I oversee a bunch of other churches and do stuff. I'm like, wow, that's a lot. He's like, I'm also an engineer. I was like, blown away. I'm like, how are you doing all this, Bill, you know? But he made those like passing comments. But he's like, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, let's talk about something exciting here, right? Let's get to Jesus, you know? I was just like, wow, I feel like his approach and his humility, he wasn't denying who he was. He didn't like mention what he did, which I think is pretty impressive at a human level. But boy, he was way more excited about talking about Jesus and elevating essentially me in the conversation. I was trying to act humble and like bring him up, but he outdid me at like a level I've never seen before. He thanked me and thanked us for letting him be able to talk on Zoom. I'm like, this guy just screams out humility that doesn't point to self, but that points to Christ. I thought Bill was a great example of that. Even locally, I had a conversation with a local pastor, Pastor Bud over at the Nazarene Church. I don't know if anyone's met him, but he's been here for several years. But I was just talking with him on the phone, seeing what people are doing with all these mask regulations and stuff. And boy, just his humility and just his love just came right across the phone. I talked to a bunch of pastors all over New England, really, really great people in ministry. But I really appreciate Pastor Bud's conversation because he's like, you know what? He's like, I want to pray for revival at New Hope Community Church. He's like, I want to pause and pray into that. And I was like, wow, God, he just has this kingdom mind. Like, we can talk about little earthly things here and there. He just wants to talk about heavenly things. He's praying for each one of you who are here and also online that revival would come, that Jesus Christ would be lifted high, that lives would be changed, that the community would be reached. And I was like, come on. I'm like, yeah. He's like, he's got skill sets and everything. But the talking point, the excitement point, had no comparison to when he started talking about Jesus. So we want to boast in Christ. We don't want to boast in our own accomplishments. And I think if we had to be honest, I'm sure all of us have areas we can grow in this, including myself. Am I boasting in Christ if I'm trying to elevate the gifts that God's given me so I can praise him with it? Or am I trying to elevate my gifts so people hopefully will praise me? It can be a little tricky, but it's a heart thing. You can ask the Lord if there's places to grow in. The next thing I want to talk about, which is where the real message just comes from, is knowing Christ intimately. And this is from verses 8 to 11. And so Paul talks about here that his goal, his passion is to know Jesus. And not just to have knowledge about Jesus, but to really know him. You see him as he starts talking in verses 8 and 9. But in verse 10, you get to see that it's really a relational connection is what Paul's looking for. He's not looking just for knowledge. And it's easy to have head knowledge, but to miss out on having heart knowledge when it comes to Jesus. So let me explain a little bit on this. I'll give an example. When I was at Roberts Wesleyan College, I was there, I transferred as a senior from Ema Bible Institute in college, and I had the opportunity my last semester to be able to meet now my wife, Crystal. But before I met her, I was really interested in getting to know her more. So I noticed that, wow, this person really seems to love Jesus a lot. I noticed that she was the top in her class in nursing. She's incredibly smart because I was a religion and philosophy student. I had a lot of time to goof off, so I always wanted to go hang out and get ice cream, and she was always studying in the library because she was a very smart, academic, studious person. She also cared for those who are oftentimes forgotten by others. I noticed that in the cafeteria, a lot of people would hang out with their crews and their groups and their posses or whatever. She'd be off one-on-one, oftentimes with people that no one else would hang out with. And it was very clear because no one would hang out with her, but there was Crystal time and time again. These are things I noticed. I noticed that she was good friends with my brother Dave's girlfriend, Katie, and that they would hang out, and I thought that was kind of cool. Now, this is all hedge knowledge. I would like to say I was very persistent in observing from a distance, some of you sounds like, it sounds like you're stalking her, and that's not the right word. I was just getting to know her more. I did go on her Facebook, and I'm kind of like, okay, there's her cute curly hairstyles, and I was getting information, but I hadn't really had a conversation yet with her, right? Anybody could have observed this. If you were paying attention, you could have figured this out. Look at the cafeteria, go to the chapel, walking down to a class. These are things you can get with head knowledge, but heart knowledge really gets to know when you have an intimate relationship and getting to know someone personally. I remember I was freaked out and scared when my brother's girlfriend, Katie, is like, you should go on a double date with me, Dave, and Crystal and myself. The four of us should go. And I was freaking out because I had head knowledge, but now heart knowledge requires some intimacy in the sense of getting to know each other. And I was nervous. And so we had a date at Ruby Tuesdays. I was really awkward. I'm incredibly awkward, actually. My leading question to break the ice was, hey, what's the census of your hometown? And she's like, I don't know, what's the census of your hometown? And I didn't know that either, because that's not a normal people question. That's what you do when you're talking to spreadsheets and computers. I was nervous, okay? I was a little nervous. But the relationship was starting, and we started to be friends. We started dating, engagement, I don't have to go through. We got married. And now I get to know Crystal in a very intimate way, relationally, and getting to know her. And sometimes we can do the same thing with Jesus. We can kind of just get to know about Jesus. We can come to church meetings to learn more about Jesus. We can go to church online to learn more about Jesus. A lot of head knowledge. But what Paul's talking here isn't just head knowledge, but knowledge that moves to a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus. Are you guys with me this morning? Right? It's a personal and intimate. So when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like, I knew a lot about Jesus. Get this, the demons even know a lot about Jesus. And they shudder. They do not see him as Lord. They do not see him as Savior. They have knowledge of him with no intimacy of following after Jesus. That is not the type of people that will be staying in heaven. It's those who know intimately their Lord and their Savior through faith by grace in Jesus Christ. Do you and I, do we know Christ intimately? Intimately. Like when I was talking to Bill Clark, I'm like, man, this guy seems like he just spent time with Jesus having coffee. It was that kind of intimacy I could tell. When someone's in love and they're having that relationship, you can just tell they're glowing. The way they talk about their favorite friend or their spouse or whatever, it's like, yeah, like they are so excited. There's relationship. It's not just head knowledge on a spreadsheet. It's real life lived together. Knowing Christ. A commentary I was reading put it this way. Knowing Christ does not mean to have head knowledge about him, but to know him personally and relationally. Paul had thus taken up the Old Testament theme of knowing God and applied it to Christ. It means to know him as a child and a parent know each other, or like a wife and a husband. Knowledge based on personal experience and intimate relationship, and thus to know Christ's character intimately. An Old Testament example of this is Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts, boast in this. Not his own achievements, but in this. That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Knowing and having an intimate relationship with Jesus will result in righteous living, kindness, and justice, and steadfast love. But if we're not careful, we can sometimes keep mirroring the practices of morality and Christ-like behavior without the intimacy of Jesus, and that will eventually lead to burnout because it's not through an abiding, overflowing time with knowing Jesus. This morning, as I was getting ready earlier, and I spent some time in prayer and the Bible, journaling a little bit, and it's not to say, oh, look at me. It's just like, I just realized I really need Jesus. I just wanted to spend more time with Jesus. And I did that. I was like, man, I feel like my head knowledge is good. I'm learning more, but like, I just got to rejoice in the Lord. So you don't have to necessarily go to an instrument. But I went over to a piano this morning, shut the door so I wouldn't wake up the family, just singing some songs to Jesus because my joy meter was low. I could feel it. I need to get my joy meter up again. So I want to spend time in the presence of God and refill, refresh. How am I supposed to come here and talk about having joy if I'm not spending time with Jesus in the morning? So I did that, and the Lord met me. I was like, yeah, God, come on. The joy of the Lord is a real thing. It's not just a theoretical or philosophical knowledge idea. You actually can experience that today. We need to spend time to know Jesus. To start that relationship, as Paul mentions here, knowing Jesus starts with the power of the resurrection. Because God has raised Jesus from the dead, the power of the resurrection is available to you and to me today. That we can have a relationship with God because he has power to resurrect Christ from the dead. If he's able to resurrect Christ from the dead, he's able to spiritually give rebirth to dead souls, dead spiritually, so to speak, and give life to us that we can have life and life abundantly even during COVID-19. Amen? Even during, yeah, exactly. Because remember, rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstances, not in the culture, not in your political party, not in the amount of money you have, not in your job, your title, acting. Rejoice in the Lord always. In Christ alone, we have everything that we need. I want to have just a couple reflection questions as I'll be inviting up in a little bit, not yet, but I'll be invited up. We'll be doing some communion at the end of this. Just have a time to reflect on Jesus' sacrifice. But here's some questions we can reflect on together. For those watching and those here, do you know Jesus personally, intimately, in a relational way? Like you just had coffee or just sat down with him and got to know him in a personal, real way? Or does Jesus seem really, really far to you? And for some, maybe you have yet to give your life to Jesus. Today's a great day to start. Ask the Lord, hey, I want to get to know you. Forgive me of my sins. Would you be my Savior? Lord, I want to follow after you. It's with the heart that we make this decision, but with the mouth that we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I know for a lot of those who are here this morning, you made that decision. You're following after Jesus. But if you've yet to do that, you can do that anywhere. During the live service recording, commit your life to Jesus. Get to know the joy of the Lord and the personal relationship. Sometimes, though, we know Jesus for a while, but he doesn't walk away, right? Because he always remains faithful, amen? Always remains faithful. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. But if Jesus feels far and you do have a relationship with God, then I encourage you, let's get back to the basics, right? Let's get back to the joy, you know, the joy of my salvation that's in God. Lord, would you restore that? I kind of gone off and done my own thing. Jesus, you haven't moved anywhere. You said you'll still be with me by my side, whether you're in a dark valley right now, moment of life. God's like, I'll be there right with you. Whether you're on the mountaintops, God's with you. You can't outrun God. You can't outpace him. You can't go somewhere where he's not. So the question is not, God, where have you gone? But Lord, what have I done to crowd you out of my life? Like you're not here because I'm not letting you into my life. God doesn't force a relationship. He's waiting for an invitation. Invite the Lord back again in a way that's fresh. He's right there with you, but if you know Christ, you're in a place that feels distant, invite the Lord to just reveal himself to you personally. Something that's helpful is switching up the routine with knowing Christ. If you're doing the same thing, like you have this Devo that you've been doing that's a 365 and you've been doing it for the last 10 years, and you're like, I just feel like it's not super fresh. Maybe try something different, right? Maybe go out for a prayer walk. Maybe get a guitar or a piano or start praising. Maybe go out and start serving the poor, doing something a little bit different and active, because sometimes we get in these little ruts. Just like imagine doing the same, for those who are in a relationship, imagine doing the same date with the same words every single week. Whew, that'll get boring fast, right? How are you? Good. How are you? Good. More pasta? Yes, please. More pasta? Yes, please. All right. Almost at 5 minutes. Cool. We're done. Glad I got that done. We can sometimes do the same thing with God. It's like almost like a rehearsal instead of an intimate, Lord, I just want to be with you. What do you want to say? This is what I want to say. I'm freaking out. Oh, you're happy? Okay, cool. You know, just have a real relationship with the Lord. Second question is, where is your joy meter at in the Lord? Like I mentioned before, Paul repeatedly encourages the Christians at Philippi to rejoice in the Lord. It's a safeguard. If our joy meter gets so low and we don't refill it with Jesus, you know what we end up doing? We try to refill it with other things or other people. And once we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, nothing on this planet will satisfy. And that's probably one of the most painful and hurting places to be, is when you've tasted the presence of the Lord, but then you're not rejoicing in it. You get to this place, you're just aching and paining. I just see our Heavenly Father being like, come on home. I want to fill you up. I want to refresh you again. I'm right here. That thing that you're trying to get, that's not going to do it. That person that you're trying to get with, that's not going to do it. I'm here. I'm with you. Come back. Rejoice, not in circumstances, not in a person, but specifically in the Lord. The last thing I want to say is, have you elevated any of your gifts that God's given you? And I wanted to phrase it that way because I don't want to make it seem like you can't talk about yourself because, like, well, what do you do? Be like, I'm not saying nothing because, you know. No, you can still talk about yourself, but have you elevated any of the God's gifts he's given you, talent, skills, abilities, in your life over the gift of knowing Jesus? And it becomes very clear, probably to you or maybe more to others, it's probably actually more clear to others oftentimes, what you're most excited about. We can say, yeah, I'm excited for Jesus. He's great. But man, let me tell you about what's going on this weekend, right? You know, it's just like, it sounds like maybe the joy factor has moved over to the location. I remember when I was, and I'll invite up Aaron at this time. We'll get ready for some communion in a moment. I remember when I was 15 and a half, I was doing driver's ed in New Hampshire, and I was really excited. And it's one of those ones where you got like the teacher on the right, and they have like this pedal thing in case you run into a car that can stop it ahead of time, I think is the idea. You have a couple people behind you observing you, which always freaked me out. They would be like the observers. They just watch you in the back of the car. I'm like, ugh. So I'm driving, and the town I grew up in had like this roundabout, and boy, roundabouts, those just like freaked me out as well, because you get there and it's not really clear, and like the people in the middle have like the yielding power, but then you can't get in there until you squeeze in there, and it was a very busy one. And so I left from my school, and it started raining, and I was driving towards the roundabout, and all I was thinking about was the roundabout. And it had been raining hard, so I had these windshield wipers on, like, you know, like that crazy. I'm like, okay, you know, 9 and 3, 9 and 3, not 10 and 2. That was like last year, 9 and 3. Okay, I'm on the steering wheel. And the instructor, he's so kind and so gracious. He's probably used to working with people like me. He's like, the rain stopped a long time ago. And he's like, Jim, do you notice anything weird about, you know, the car or any of the driving conditions? I'm like, nope. Just getting to that roundabout. You know, I'm ready on it. He's like, do you hear anything weird? And I heard this sound, but I didn't know what it was at first. It was like, ear, 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 ear. And you guys might be able to figure this out. But I've been driving for 10 minutes with the windshield wipers on high. And he was waiting to see if I would notice. It was completely dried out, so the thing was like getting worn down. People were kind of chuckling in the back, but I had no clue. I had no clue that was going on. Sometimes in our own life, it's like I thought I got everything right. I was going the right direction. I was on the right side of the road, but there was an area of the car that obviously was a glaring problem that I wasn't adjusting, that this loving instructor is like, hey, he gave me time, but he spoke a word of insight and correction into my driving. That was incredibly helpful. I feel like that's what the Lord wants to do this morning, is have a moment just to speak into our lives as a loving, you know, coach, as a loving father. Be like, hey, you know that one thing, you're doing really good. You're going the right direction, but there's a little changes that need to be made. You might not see it, but other people are seeing in your life, and they might tell you, or they might be shy and not tell you, but the Lord wants to speak to you. Be like, hey, that area needs to be fixed. It needs to be submitted to me, and we can course correct it. So let's have a moment to pray, and then we're going to have a time of communion, just to spend it with the Lord. And invite the Lord just to speak into your life. And maybe as I've been sharing, the Lord's already showed you, yeah, I want to know God more. I want to start with a relationship. Maybe you realize your joy meter is dangerously low, and you've been finding joy elsewhere. Ask for forgiveness. Come back to the Lord. He can fill you up. Or maybe you just play the boasting game in the wrong place. It's not in Jesus. It's in gifts and abilities he's given you. Ask for the Lord. Lord, would you be the one I boast in? Would you be the one that I align my life to when I live from my heart and my mouth? So let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that you love us, that you're a good dad, that you care for us. And Lord, I just pray for those who are here and those online watching the recording, God, that we can just open up our hearts to you and just let you speak into our lives. There's a couple different areas, Lord, in this passage we're hitting on. And Lord, just show us areas that you want to have look more like you. So let's just take a moment to listen and just maybe have a conversation with the Lord. Let him speak to you, and then feel free to respond, and then we'll move into communion in just a moment. Lord, I just thank you that you died for my sin, for our sins. God, thank you for loving us in this kind of way. God, forgive us, forgive me when we elevate ourselves, gifts that you've given us, Lord, above you and knowing you, Lord. God, I pray for those who feel far from you, God. I pray that they can know you intimately right now, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those who are wanting to reestablish that relationship, that they could take that step, Lord. Lord, I pray for strength and encouragement for those who are in very difficult seasons right now, that your joy, God, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. Whether it's a sickness right now, maybe just missing family so much because they can't see them, that there's an aching in the soul. God, would you bring comfort, and God, would joy be their strength, would be a safeguard for them. Lord, I pray that we would not elevate anything or anyone, even remotely close, to elevating Christ. That comparison, Lord, it would literally look like our best works would look like trash compared to knowing how great and awesome you are. Just thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.